Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Aledio.com Sports Station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the Radio.com app, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. We should be hearing from everyone today after that Packers win over the Vikings 21-16. They beat Minnesota at Lambeau. You can call in 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. You can also tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Steven hits up the Twitter account with the first tweet of the day, and I don't want anything bad to happen, so he says, if you don't start the show with G-Force, I'm punching my son. Oh. G-Force. We don't negotiate with people that beat up kids.
Well, geez, man, that's pretty harsh, man. that's pretty harsh to feel. I don't remember even hearing this song yesterday. Ori and I were at the game. I don't remember hearing G-Force.
I heard it. They played it?
Third quarter on third down. Yep,
did they? I don't remember fan reaction.
Not only that, on the way there, I heard it three times.
You heard it there in your car?
Yes, in the car. I was flipping through the stations trying to get some sports talk. And
oh, okay.
Swear on my son's life, three times I heard G-Force. I even did a video. I wasn't playing that.
Yeah.
Why is everybody threatening their kids this morning?
Well, that's more people are?
Damn Chiefs fans.
Okay. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 414-799-1250. Again, that's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Chuck had been saying last week, and then on Friday especially, that we were going to be in for what he calls a good old-fashioned Lambeau Field ass-whooping. And when the Packers go up, not 7, not 14, but 21-0, I don't think anybody could believe their eyes. And I jumped on the fans' Twitter account, and I said, nearly halfway to 50. And then after that, the Vikings scored, and the Vikings scored again, and the Vikings scored again. And the Packers, their offense got them there, Chuck, but then the defense had to lock this one down. Packers do win, as you all know, 21-16, but it didn't come without some nervous times.
I don't remember ever seeing a game like that before. I don't think I've ever seen a Packer game like that before, where they score 21 points. They get off to a 21-0 lead in the first quarter right off the bat and don't score the rest of the game. That's bizarre, man. I mean, just think of that. I mean, you move the ball up and down the field in the first couple of drives, and you're thinking, man, they're going to score 100 points or at least 50 or at least hit the over. And none of that happened, man. It just that was so strange to see the offense completely shut off at that point. You know, I mean, after that Geronimo Allison fumble, I mean, there was nothing. There was nothing at all, and it was holding on for dear life. Just, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still 2-0, but just bizarre to see them not score anymore after looking so good in the first few possessions.
You know, when they did get up 21-0, they had the three drives there in the first quarter, and they score that third touchdown just as the second quarter begins to Aaron Jones. I didn't think that they'd put up 30. I didn't think they'd put up 35. I didn't think they'd put up 40 going into this weekend. But when they were up 21-0, I mean, it was easy to envision, oh, my good God, they could put up 45, 50 points in this game. And then things turned pretty quickly. But the Packers defense able to at least keep the Vikings at bay. And then there was a lot of weird, interesting touchdowns taken back and some interesting pass interference calls, which we'll get into. All of that, 414-799-1250. Leroy Butler is going to join us at 7 o'clock. I think he's got to be impressed with what he saw, especially from some of these guys, those young guys in the secondary. We'll talk to our insider, Ryan Wood, 8:20 this morning. And then again, plenty of time for you at 414-799-1250. But when they're up 21-0, I mean, the thoughts that were going through my head were almost obscene, because it was just, the Vikings have a better defense than maybe I've given credit for in the past. The defense is better than it was a year ago, for sure. And I think as good as we think the Packers could be, even in our wildest dreams, I don't think anyone saw that coming.
No, not at all. And, you know, the Vikings, maybe they got a little overconfident after their week against Atlanta coming in here, because they were not ready to play. And the Packers hit them right away with those scripted plays right off the bat. And yeah, 21-0 by early second quarter. It was almost, you almost feel like it was 21-0 first quarter. But yeah, Jonesy got the touchdown there to make it 21-0 early second quarter. But, I mean, that one had all the makings. So I, you know, when I made that prediction on Friday, I said 34-14. I was like, man, I'm going to be off on this. 34-14. This is going to be like 50-14. I mean, it just looked like one of those ass whippings that the Vikings weren't even going to hang around. But then when Allison fumbled there in Viking territory, it's just like, man, wow. You know, because they could have, I mean, I just feel like that just kind of slowed the whole momentum down. But there were a lot of great parts of that game. Even though the Vikings made things interesting, there were a lot of great parts. And at the end, the Packers offense did salt that game away. When they needed a drive at the end to finish off in the final 2 and 2.5 minutes of that game, the Packers offense, which, you know, looked a little lame there for a better part of 2 or 3 quarters, finally got the job done. And
well, they still did have to punt on that final drive, though.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, they got the second down pass to Devontae Adams, which kind of surprised a lot of people, because you're thinking run. Yeah, but I mean, that was, I think the offense did what it had to do for the most part to put that one away in the final couple of minutes of the game.
21-16, the final, Packers over the Vikings, 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Again, Leroy Butler will join us here at 7 o'clock this morning. First three quarters for the Packers, I'll say drives instead. First three drives for the Packers, they were able to put up 21 points. They were 3 for 3 on third down. They had 13.4 yards per play, 4.7 yards per rush. After that, no points scored. 2 of 12 on third down, 3.1 yards per attempt, and the 4.3 yards per carry. So what happened? How did they go from looking like it was going to be a good old fashioned Lambeau ass whooping? And when you say that, I mean,
we've seen it happen before,
but not in a long time.
No, but we've
you're talking old fashioned like the '96 team.
No. We saw that happen under McCarthy. We saw that happen under McCarthy.
When was the last good old fashioned Lambeau ass whooping?
No, not 1996 wasn't the last time. There were times under Sherman that McCarthy had done it a few times.
Oh, sure. The last couple of years, the big ones, but I just this has been a while.
I would say, you know, 2014, 2015, maybe.
It's been a while.
You know, the last couple of years have not been good years, as we know, because they missed the playoffs and they've had Rodgers hurt and all that. But, you know, there was, I mean, you look at the whole span between, oh gosh, 94, I want to say, through 2015, maybe to 2016 a little bit. There's a lot of games in there where an opponent would come in here and they would just crush somebody. But it hasn't happened much in recent years.
I got a blowout for you.
Yeah.
The Giants at home, the playoff game, the one where Odell Beckham Jr. dropped like 17 passes. That was a blowout. What did that end up? 38-13 was the final.
Okay.
So that was, here, I got to pull that up. January 8th, 2017. That's the last one I could remember, though.
Okay. But there's, you know, there'd be 2017?
Yeah. 2017.
2017?
Yeah, it was
the 2016 season.
Yeah, right, but that was,
they played the playoffs in 2017.
Okay.
I'm not really, but if you watch the NFL, I feel like that's just how every team is. Outside of the Patriots, nobody's really figured it out yet. I even put that on Twitter yesterday. The Chiefs scored all 28 of their points in the second quarter, and we're treating Patrick Mahomes like he's the next, you know, Dan Marino, and
that was
the best
another bizarre game. Nobody scored the second half. Another strange game.
Like, no overs hit. Last night, you're watching Atlanta, Philadelphia, thinking you're going to get like 35 points apiece or 40 from one of those two teams, and it was a 24-21, you know, game.
But how about Rodgers throws for like 145 in the first quarter? You're thinking, because I was telling you last week, I said, you know, what's the over and under at Rodgers' passing yardage? You said it was like 250, 260, and he got 209, 206, 209. It's just like, man, how did he get like 50 or 60 yards passing over the final three quarters? When he was just, he was 9 of 10 in that first quarter, and it looked awesome.
Well, what do you think happened? I mean, what did happen? Because he was, I mean, again, and we just gave you the stats. They were terrific. They were converting third downs in that first quarter. They had the three touchdowns, and then Aaron Jones, his touchdown came in the second quarter. Yeah. But they had the three touchdowns on their first three drives, and they looked like they were going to put up 50 points, and then they didn't score again the rest of the game.
I asked that to Davante Adams yesterday in front of his garbage can. He stood in front of his garbage can yesterday doing post-game interviews because his locker wasn't big enough, so he stood in front of this big garbage can. And I asked him, he said, we just let the foot off the pedal. We can't do that. We just simmered down. We just left the foot off the pedal, and that was it. And he said, we had these guys early on, and we just backed off. And, he wasn't happy about it, happy about the win, but, yeah, he said they just backed off. For whatever reason, human nature, they just got up to that 21-0 lead and got comfortable with it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they had a touchdown, 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 and then the Packers' final 12 drives went fumble, punt. That was the Allison fumble.
Yeah.
Punt, punt. Then they had that confusion on fourth down, which we'll get into up here.
Yeah.
They had the punt, and then Rodgers fumbled with a low snap.
Mm-hmm.
Then five more punts. And then that final drive where they kind of brought the clock down but still ended up punting. So eight total punts, a couple of fumbles, and that turnover on downs with the confusion where they don't even get the field goal out of that as the Packers were driving in the second quarter. So, you know, there were some turnovers. There was some sloppy play, but the Packers do get the win at 21-16, and they hang on. And once again, it's an interception in the end zone by the defense after a bad throw by the opposing team's quarterback.
How about that? But with the Vikings, though, it's just like the Vikings. They have things going well for them. You know, they're driving. They're running the football at will. I mean, absolutely running the football down the Packers' throats. And then they get a first and goal at the 8-yard line. And then they try to get cute and thinking, oh, we're going to catch the Packers napping a little bit here. And Cousins throws off his back foot, fade in the end zone, double covered, and intercepted by Kevin King. It's like, why would you do that? First and goal at the 8-yard line for the Vikings, you got to keep running the football. The way Cook was running the football, you got to keep running him. And they didn't do it. They tried to outsmart themselves like the Vikings usually do and ended up costing them.
Dalvin Cook, 20 carries, 154 yards. Aaron Jones with 23 carries, 116. First time he's had more than 20 carries in a game. So he was good after maybe a soft week in week one. But yeah, if you're the Vikings, just keep going Cook, Cook, Cook. And then to throw it there on that first and goal instead of going, with the running attack, just an ill-fated move by Minnesota. And of course, Minnesota fans, as salty as ever, I have figured out what Minnesota fans do. I have figured out their whole MO when it comes to Packers fans. And we're going to try to put a stop to that. And we're going to do that next. Plus, the drive of the game, the call of the game. Leroy Butler will join us at 7 o'clock. Packers have beaten the Vikings off to a 2-0 start for this 2019 NFL season. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, 105.7 FM, AM 1250, and everywhere on the radio.com. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Packers win 21-16 over the Minnesota Vikings. Don't forget the Brewers went down to St. Louis, took 2-3. Ryan Braun with a Ryan Braun moment yesterday with the Grand Slam. We'll have more on that throughout the show as well. They've got a four-game series tonight against the Padres. You better get out there. Quick Trip bought 5,000 tickets to tonight's game, Tuesday's game, Wednesday's game, and Thursday's game. A couple years ago, there was a business that stepped up, bought a whole bunch of tickets, and then nobody came. And that's when I came on the air and said, people got to get out to Miller Park. And then everybody turned on me. There's free tickets.
Was that last year or 2 years ago?
2 years ago, 2017, yeah.
Yeah. Well, 7 days now they'll be at home.
I'm still
hearing
about that crap.
Four with the Padres and three with the Pirates.
So I know the competition sucks, but get on out there to Miller Park. Tim and Billy have you covered all week long here on the post-game show. As far as the call of the game, in yesterday's game, Packers beat the Vikings 21-16. It came on the Packers' seventh drive of the first half. Packers had a pretty comfortable lead at this point, and they were looking to maybe kick a field goal as they were driving into enemy territory. They went quick on third down and then quick on fourth down. It was a third down play to Allison. He was short, and then they immediately handed the ball off. And if you watch the game on TV, the announcers were talking about how, well, this was a great move by LaFleur. They had their third down ready to go, and if it didn't work, they had their fourth down ready to go. And so I didn't think much of it because I'm just, you know, watching the game on TV, trusting that Chris Myers knows what the hell he's talking about. But then after the play, it was a fourth down. Aaron Rodgers is confused. He doesn't know what's going on. And we find out after the game that there was some confusion on that fourth down play where Aaron Rodgers actually thought it was a first down.
It looks like Green Bay is ready to go on a fourth down right here.
See if the Vikings are ready. Rodgers. And they're ready for Williams. An awkward couple of snaps for Green Bay on offense.
It looked from my vantage point that it might have been a positive questionable spot for us. And under two, that's a booth review. So I just wanted to get us on the ball quickly. From the time it took Carl to spot the ball to whatever happened when I went inside, I just assumed first down. I thought it was first down there, and it was definitely not first down. It was fourth down. You know, just a bad play by me.
I got to do a better job of communicating to Aaron in that situation. He thought it was a first down, and I've got to let him know that we're going to take points there. But, you know, it is what it is. You live and learn. But, again, that falls on me right there.
Just an interesting play how it went down, and then when you find out more about it later. Because really, in the moment, Chuck, I just thought that, and you were at the game, so maybe you had a different perspective on things, but watching the game on TV, being told what I was being told from the announcers, I just thought that, yeah, LaFleur had played quick on third down, and then he had a play on fourth down, and then they would move on. And, you know, I was kind of encouraged that they were going to be willing to go for it instead of settle for the three. And I didn't really think about it until after the game when I'm watching the Rodgers and LaFleur press conferences and they're talking about this fourth down play. I'm like, what the hell are they talking about? What are they talking about? Where was the confusion? And then, oh, my goodness, that was not a play design. That was Rodgers thinking it was a first down when it was actually a fourth down.
Yeah, it looked like I thought, okay, he's getting the offense. He's trying to catch a defense because you see the fourth down on the flag right there. It says fourth down. And they did get a generous spot on it because in the press box at the time, we're saying, man, you know, they gave a generous spot on that. And then I looked at first, it was like fourth down and short. He's written guys to the line of scrimmage, and he's going to try to catch Minnesota off balance. And then you realize, wait a second, he thought it was first down. And that, you see, that's along the lines of Aaron, you know, trying to complete a pass and run a play when he thinks there's 12 men on the field. When he does that sort of thing, he thought immediately, oh, wait a second, before they come out and review the spot, you know, they challenge that, I'm going to run a quick play. I'm going to run a quick play so they can't get it off. But that's the first time I want to say Aaron's been burned by that, where he, you know, tried one of the smartest guys in the room thing. And that's not bad because it usually works out, but this time it backfired against him. And, you know, then obviously the play was stuffed for a 2-yard loss right away. And Aaron's looking dumb, and Rodgers taking the blame, and then LaFleur saying, no, that's not Aaron's fault, that's my fault. So each guy taking their own blame on that one, too.
I've figured Vikings fans out. I'll explain on that in just a moment. But the Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur communication was really put under the microscope again. I mean, when LaFleur's talking about how I've got to call a timeout or I've got to communicate to Aaron that that's a fourth down and not a first down, that was one instance of what kind of page are these two guys on. And then there was a blow up of sorts that the cameras caught in that first half too, where Rodgers and LaFleur were yelling at each other. And I know that was a topic of conversation in the press room afterwards. Can we not do this? I know I'm bringing it up right now, but can this not be a thing?
Well, I saw a couple of writers, national guys, a guy named Charles Robinson, put that out right away on Twitter and put the video up. And I tweeted right back and I said, this is overblown. I mean, guys do this all the time. Aaron Rodgers did this with McCarthy. Just, he could have been shouting about anything, all right? And you're down on the field, you got 80,000 people on you. No, it's not a big deal. It isn't really a big deal at all. And I knew, you know, some people were going to make and I heard about that yesterday, just from friends and fans and all that. These two guys don't like each other. It was one moment where Rodgers walked off the field, and he wasn't being disrespectful to anybody. And it was just, you know, two guys in competition and competitors That's going to happen, all right? I mean, they weren't pissed off at each other. They weren't, you know, it's not a big deal. It's going to take them a while to get on the same page as far as running the offense and certain things, but don't look into that saying Rodgers isn't listening to LaFleur or not obeying or whatever. It's not a big deal.
You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, the fan, 414-799-1250. The tweet that you mentioned from Charles Robinson with Yahoo was Packers Aaron Rodgers and head coach Matt LaFleur presented without comment, discuss, and it was the two sort of arguing. Later, he would try to defend himself and say, "Oh, I just said it was presented without comment." When you present without comment, the comment. Rodgers and LaFleur afterwards.
Yeah, it's just two competitive guys, and I'm sure it's not going to be the last one we have. But, you know, just competitors, heat of the moment, and, you know, it is what it is.
I was actually kind of surprised that he was coming over to talk about that. But we got it all sorted out there on the sideline, and it actually wasn't a big deal. He's just, you know, as am I, we're, you know, a little animated at times. But I can't say we were yelling how much we love each other, but we definitely weren't MFing each other or anything. It was talking about the look there and you know, get on the same page.
Yeah, I would much rather have that than anything else, because you want guys that are extreme competitors, and that's what he is.
And again, I know we just brought it up, but this relationship story needs to die. It needs to die, and it needs to die quickly. And the whole reason that we're obsessed with it is because of the way that the Rodgers and McCarthy era ended. But you know, you hope that Rodgers has learned from that. Wherever Mike McCarthy goes, you hope that he's learned from that. But Matt LaFleur, when he's at the podium. You know, and I don't know how many people listened in full to the press conferences, if that's just a thing that, you know, I did because it helps me with my job, or if that's a thing that, you know, when I was on there, the live stream, there were a couple thousand people on there. So I do think it's of some interest to people what these guys say after the game. But it's just constantly being peppered with questions about this and questions about this. And then you have writers go, "Well, you don't understand. We've covered the same coach for 13 years, and now we're trying to figure out, like, what's going on with the relationship, because Wildy wants to write another book about this or something." It's just the whole thing. It's like, we don't care. We don't need this. These are two guys competing in a football game. This is the NFL. There's 16 of these things. You're against your division rival. Yeah, you're going to have some heated moments, mm-hmm. And they went out and won the football game. What's the big deal?
Yeah, well, Charles Robinson writes that. My tweet was, nope, overblown drama. Rodgers being a competitor, that's all. Don't overread too much into it. And LaFleur basically said that right there. He said two guys being a competitor. I said Rodgers being a competitor because the video was focused on Rodgers. So it was.
Why is Tom Brady allowed to go after Josh McDaniels and have head coach or his head coach and all of his teammates hold them back? But if Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur have a disagreement, we're going to have to break it down here in Milwaukee for 4 days.
Because I think there's a feeling nationally that Rodgers got McCarthy fired.
I'd be more nervous if Rodgers was like, "No, you're right," and LaFleur was like, "No, you're right."
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, look at any quarterback.
There's a little
head coach.
Of that though. There's a little of that where, you know, when on that fourth down play, Rodgers taking blame and LaFleur said, "No, that's my fault. No, that's my fault." Like a couple taking blame over something. And then at the end of the day, they're both taking their own blame for it. But, yep, overblown drama. And this is just, and you know, probably not the first time we're going to see this either. But I saw as soon as that happened that we were going to, the first national guy I saw do this, Charles Robinson of Yahoo, I had to just put an end to it.
Brady has had a lot of blow-ups since Horvath brings up Tom Brady. I mean, he's had a lot of blow-ups on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the handful of Super Bowl championships that allows him to get away with that. Also, Brady Belichick is going to go down in history as the greatest quarterback coach combo ever. I mean, I know there's Walsh Montana and Lombardi Star, but it's going to be Brady Belichick that goes down as two guys who are in lockstep with each other and at the height of their careers. Now, Brady and Belichick may disagree at times, but Belichick's not the kind of guy who will maybe cower down to Tom Brady. McCarthy cowered down to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got smarter than him, and McCarthy knew it. And so that whole relationship was done from the moment that Rodgers realized he could run this offense better than McCarthy could coach it. That hasn't happened in New England, so we try to compare it to those guys all the time. And again, the Patriots are a completely different anomaly. You cannot, if you're comparing any part of your franchise to this once-in-a-lifetime operation the Patriots have figured out over the last 20 years, you're going to end up short, and it's just going to be a waste of your exorcism.
But the
exercise? Exorcist.
Something like that. Yeah,
it's going to be a waste of time.
What this happened? This happens like in every workplace in America. I mean, two guys who work together, two guys like you and I who work together, two guys across the street who work together. I mean, this happens, and it's they're over and done with it, and they move on. All right, it's just. And Rodgers, how do we know that? What the hell he was talking about? He could have been complaining at the time about somebody in the that was lined up wrong. He could have been complaining about, Lane Taylor, who had a bad day yesterday. He could have complained about anybody. But, right away, some of these national people, especially, they come to conclusions, oh, these two guys are getting into it, and, we're already not on the same page.
Well, I think nationally, too, when you look at, when you watch, like, the NFL on Fox, or when you watch ESPN Primetime, or when you watch whenever, they're covering 32 teams. So what they're going to do is grab the juiciest thing from each team, and maybe the most digestible. Like, they're not going to break down with the Cleveland Browns, how Freddie Kitchens is doing as a first-year head coach now and not an offensive coordinator. They're going to look at, well, Odell Beckham wants to keep wearing this watch, okay? With the Packers, they're not going to look at, wow, Aaron Jones had 20 yards or 20 carries for the first time ever. They're going to say, what's the latest on the LaFleur-Rodgers relationship, and how can we dissect that?
Yeah.
They're going to take the most dramatic parts of that, and so nationally, that's kind of what happens. I think we here in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin just have to, I guess, be the barrier and remind you guys that if you start to, get suckered into that or to get worked up by it, that you know what you're watching. You're watching a Packer team that started 2-0. You're watching a Packer team that got probably the best play from Aaron Rodgers in a quarter that I've seen in a while.
Yeah,
they look terrific in that first quarter.
On national highlights, okay, let's say New England's playing Miami, and New England wins 45-0, okay? Rolls, like yesterday, rolls over Miami, 43-0. You know what they're going to show? I mean, if there's a moment where Brady and Belichick are going, jabbering back and forth, when the score is 27-0, that for sure is going to get in there. That's going to be a bumper to a break. That's going to be one of the highlights. Forget the 6 touchdown passes Brady might throw. The national media is going to focus on, because that's what people want to see.
Well, forget
Brady,
the two
Belichick
defensive touchdowns
fighting back and forth.
They had the Antonio Brown touchdown to show. I mean, they're going to show the juicy stuff rather than maybe the real
the
story.
The nuts and bolts. Yeah, they're not going to show Aaron Jones. The Packers, Aaron Jones having a big day, and the Packers getting that run game. The national people, they think, they want to see Dramata. They want to see two teams in a fight. They want to see a bench-clearing brawl. They want to see two coaches. They want to see a player and a coach go after it against each other. Just the way it's always going to be in the national.
That's why we here have you covered, because we watch these games. We're in the locker room. We don't watch these games tape delay 5 hours after they happen. We watch them live, and we cover them with you guys. 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM. The Fan, as I've been alluding to, I figured out Vikings fans. Vikings fans do a little throw dirt at you and then say that you're the one that caused it. I've broken down the psyche of Vikings fans, and I'd like to explain that coming up next. Plus, did the crowd deliver like Matt LaFleur wanted them to? It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 on the AM, and everywhere at theradio.com app.
Sports Green Bay Packers News Flash. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers hold on to beat the Vikings 21-16 here at Lambeau Field. Green Bay sustained a running attack throughout the game. Running back Aaron Jones rushed for 116 yards on 23 carries and scored a touchdown from 2 yards out. What made the difference?
Just the big guys up front getting a hat for a hat, and our tight ends doing a great job of giving us the edge, and receivers blocking downfield as us a whole unit. As well as the quarterback carrying out the fake, he plays a big part that nobody sees as well.
Aaron Rodgers led the Packers on 3 consecutive scoring drives to build a 21-0 lead. Then in the third quarter, as the Vikings defense started to tighten their coverage, Rodgers threw a pass away to avoid a sack and was chewed out by his head coach Matt LaFleur on the sidelines.
Yeah, it was about the look on defense, but I was actually kind of surprised that he was coming over to talk about that. We got it all sorted out there on the sideline, and he's just, you know, as am I. We're, you know, a little animated at times, but I can't say it was we were yelling how much we love each other, but we definitely weren't MFing each other or anything. It was getting on the same page.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that's just two competitive guys, and I'm sure it's not going to be the last one we have, but, you know, just competitors, heat of the moment, and, you know, it is what it is.
Packers safety Raven Green had to be carted off the field with an ankle injury. After the game, safety Darnell Savage spotted leaving the locker room in a walking boot. The Vikings managed to score 16 unanswered points and hold the Packers to no points after the start of the second quarter. I spoke with Vikings defensive back Xavier Rhodes.
Man, we just adjusted, man, just like any other team that go out there in the field that's making mistakes out there in the first half or any other quarter, any other play. You know, we adjust to the new calls they made out there. And that's how he was able to adjust to it and stop him in the second half.
So the Packers improved to 2-0. They faced the winless Broncos, who lost to Chicago. The Vikings fall to 1-1. They're going to host the Raiders next. Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer says the Packers were able to take advantage of some substitutes he had to play on defense due to injuries.
You know, we fought our rear ends off. But we didn't make enough plays to win the football game. And, you know, you go out and you start out 21-0. Typically, we're pretty good in the red zone. And today, we weren't good enough. They found some of our substitution guys and hit them early, and then we had to make, like I said, make some adjustments.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
That was a really good team win for us. Anytime you can win a division game, especially against a quality opponent like Minnesota Vikings, you can never take that for granted. And, you know, it was awesome. It was an electric atmosphere. I thought our crowd really did a great job of getting loud and provided that spark that we're looking for each and every week. And it really allowed us to get out to a fast start.
Aaron Jones, that's going to be another Packer touchdown.
It was great. Yeah, it was great, man. The whole entire game. You know, I got back to the sideline, and coaches asked me what Bradberry was saying on the field. I couldn't even tell him what he was saying. So, yeah, like I couldn't hear none of the offensive line calls, none of that. So, the crowd was great today.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Leroy Butler leaps in here in about 15 minutes. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. Matt LaFleur, the Fox call, and then Kenny Clark all commenting on the crowd yesterday behind some of the music of the Cars. Chuck, pour one out for Rick Ocasek, who passed away late last night, we found out.
Yeah, that's... They found him like the middle of the afternoon. His estranged wife found him, but boy, that's quite bizarre. On the heels of Eddie Money, and now Rick Ocasek from the Cars. They had not performed together. They performed at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a few years ago when they were inducted in. But that's like a group I've never seen in concert. I can't remember the last time when they were together. Probably I want to say late '80s when they were touring. I don't remember them ever coming to Milwaukee either. I'm sure they have. I just don't remember it.
I still do carry CDs in my car. Mm-hmm. I still have a CD player, so I'm going to fire up some Cars Their Greatest Hits album when I'm driving around today in honor of Rick Ocasek. And the Cars, a very, very underrated band.
Oh, well, you know, they were great, man.
But I don't think today they get the attention that they should.
Well, the deal with the Cars is, where, like, the REOs and the Journeys and all that, they still are touring, okay, with members of their band. The Cars weren't. Rick Ocasek, like, tried to embark on a solo career in the 80s. That went nowhere. And they just never really toured, man. They never toured after the 80s.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. The Packers win 21-16. Brewers are still in it. We'll touch on that throughout the morning as well, after a big Ryan Braun grand slam yesterday. They've got the Padres coming to town tonight. One game back in that second wild card still, as the Cubs kept on winning this weekend as well. But the Packers get the victory 21-16. And when I say I figured out Vikings fans, oh, have I figured out Vikings fans. I bring this up because I've got a friend. He's a Vikings fan. And I saw on his Facebook page last night, Packers are the most classless fan base in all of sports. First of all, no. Second of all, here's what's happening with Vikings fans, and this happened again last week, and it will happen again in December when these two play again. The Vikings
need this game more than the Packers do, at least in terms of their fan base. Packers fan base, we've had a couple of Super Bowls. Even if you're, 22 years old, you remember 2010. And if you're my age in your mid-30s, you clearly remember 96. So it's not like they've got 13 world championships that none of us were alive for. There's certainly championships that we remember. You know, and the Vikings, they've had a lot of heartbreak since then. So what the Vikings will do is they will pour everything into this matchup. The border battle, they call it. You never hear Packer fans refer to this game as the border battle, but they do over in Minnesota because what are the other states they border? The Dakotas and Iowa and then up north Canada. We border Michigan with the Lions, Illinois with the Bears, and then, of course, Minnesota. So to call it the border battle would be stupid. So what Vikings fans do is they do little brother syndrome, and they start hurling shots at Packer fans all week. Right? Ah, we beat you. Rodgers hasn't thrown a touchdown against us in 3 years. I am beat. And all these little shots of things that are very irrelevant but matter so much to Vikings fans. Then they go out and play the game. Packers win. So you've been taking abuse all week from your Vikings fans. Then what do? You go, ha ha, we won. And then Vikings fan that's been on you all week goes, oh, you're so classless. I mean, come on, yeah. Vikings fans.
I mean, Viking fan doesn't have a box to stand on, really. I mean, they've had more. I mean, they have nothing to stand for. Name a great moment in Viking history. Nothing involving the postseason. Oh, that touchdown pass that Case Keenum threw in the playoffs a couple of years ago. That lucky play in the overtime. But then what happened the following week? They got beat by Philadelphia.
Bud Grant, it was minus 20 degrees, and he walked out with short sleeves.
Okay.
For the coin flip.
That's it.
Bud Grant, who had lost 4 Super Bowls, but Bud Grant.
Went to UW Superior, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
But, yeah, one of 10 people who ever went to Superior. The Vikings, so when I hear anything from the Viking fan trying to brag about anything, it's like, stop. I mean, Viking fan has nothing to brag about. I mean, it's great that you're loyal. It's like us bragging about the Brewers. We have nothing to brag about with the Milwaukee Brewers. Nothing. We don't. We don't. We're like the Vikings. The Brewers have not done anything ever. We have nothing to brag about the Brewers. Viking fan, same thing. They have nothing to brag about with the Minnesota Vikings. So that'd be like us, you know, standing on the soapbox and saying, wow, the Brewers did. Wait, what did they do? Oh, that's right. They went on a walk-off home run a couple of years ago. That's about it. We have nothing to stand on. That's like us bragging to the St. Louis Cardinals. Okay, I hate the Cardinals, but the Cardinals, you know, the Brewers to the Cardinals are what the Vikings are to Packer fans.
Yeah. You can go to a Cardinals fan and say, hey, Ryan Braun grand slam yesterday. And they'll say, remember when we beat you in the World Series in 82?
Mm-hmm.
And then remember when we beat you in 2011 and then won the World Series after that?
Yeah.
And then remember how we're just consistently a much better franchise than you record-wise?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd say, but Ryan Braun, though,
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
Well, we won 3 games there last year to clinch a wild card spot. Yeah, how many times have they rolled over our team? How about the 2011? Brewers won the division. Okay, they won the division. Cardinals were the wild card team, and the Cardinals ended up winning the World Series that year.
Vikings fans also turning on Kirk Cousins. This is from our friends over at Score North in Minnesota, where Rami Makhlouf has departed to, taking some Vikings calls yesterday after the Packers beat them 21-16.
I am so sick and tired of Kirk Cousins. That was the worst throw since Brett Favre in 2009 in the NFC title game. The guy is a joke. I mean, yeah, everybody always wants to talk about he's a mid-level QB. No, he's a bottom level. He's in the 20 to 30 category. You can't trust him. It was a winning effort from the rest of the team, despite what seemed to be at a point where even the Fox NFL announcers are saying the Zebras are hosing the Vikings. We still have a chance to win, and we have this loser. He's just a loser. He should be cut, redraft. Spielman can go right out the door with him. I'm tired of him.
You know, if I was a Vikings fan, I'd be pretty hot about yesterday because there were some questionable calls. There was that pass interference on Dalvin Cook, which brought back the Diggs touchdown. And there were some really weird officiating results in week 2, which we'll talk about too here today. But there were some plays that
I mean, you had receivers dropping balls, which doesn't happen with the Minnesota Vikings. You had some Kirk Cousins overthrows. And then just like when the Packers beat the Bears and had an interception in the end zone to win that game, they did the same thing against the Vikings on a play that should have never been thrown. Now, the for this Vikings fan, the Favre pass in 2009 was way worse.
No, stakes were a little bit higher in the NFC Championship game than the second game of the season. But Cousins, look at his Cousins' numbers yesterday. 14 of 32 for 230. He was off to like a 4 for 14 start in that game. I mean, he was just bad. I mean, here's a guy who's, yeah, if this guy was the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, we'd be torturing him this morning. Making $28 million for that type of effort and that type of pass in the end zone. It was a horrible pass.
Well, even the situation.
It was a horrible call.
Why are you passing on first and goal?
First and goal at the 8-yard line. When you're running the ball at will for the last 2 weeks of the season with Dalvin Cook, it's been amazing. And, you know, then all of a sudden, well, hey, let's run. Oh, this is working. You know what? Maybe we should try passing the ball. We're running the ball so well. Let's see if we can pass the ball into the end zone. And that's the Minnesota Vikings. That sums up the Minnesota Vikings in one play right there, their whole franchise.
Well, it was good to see Kevin King get that interception. He gets the interception. Tremont Williams knew he was going to get it the whole way.
It was great to see. When the ball left the quarterback hands, I knew it because I was watching it the whole time. I said, this is an interception because I just saw the way the ball was floating in the air, and I knew Kev would definitely be able to get to it. So it was a huge play in the game.
Cousins wanted Thielen. Throws a Hail Mary. Kevin King, did he come up with it?
One on the field is an interception. First down.
I can't believe that Cousins would throw that ball.
I knew it was coming because I knew he had to step on me. And I knew if I was a quarterback, I probably would have threw that. So I just put my head down and went for it. When the ball in the air, there's two receivers out there trying to get it. You know, it ain't no DB receiver. There's two receivers trying to get it.
I mean, if you look at it from the Vikings' perspective and you go rewatch that game, I mean, the Vikings, yeah, they got down 21-0, but the defense stepped up after that. Packers were just 2-12 on conversions, third down conversions after that. The defense got a lot tighter. They got some more pressure on Rodgers. And there were so many missed opportunities that it was, I would be furious as a Vikings fan today. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a play, though, on first and goal at the 8. If they do decide to pass and the receiver is wide open for the touchdown, then it looks like, then you look like a genius. All right. But then when you're throwing in the double coverage on a floater that Chris Myers describes as a Hail Mary from the 8-yard line, basically that's what it was. I mean, why would you throw a 50-50 ball in that situation on a first and goal at the 8-yard line? It's not even a third down call, Bart. It's a first and goal at the 8-yard line. If he's not there, waste it. I mean, Kirk Cousins, you like to think, well, a Viking fan would hopefully think that the guy's smarter than that. Bad. Bad decision. Bad play call, bad decision on his part. Bad form. Throwing off the back part of your foot, unless you're Brett Favre, is never a good idea.
I was trying to break down some of the other quarterbacks throughout the NFL on Friday's show, and the way I described Kirk Cousins was, he's not terrible, but he sucks. Does that make more sense now after watching him this Sunday?
Well, but he was terrible.
And no, he's not terrible.
Well, but 14 of 32 for 230.
You think he's terrible and he sucked.
Yeah, 14 of 32 for 230. That's terrible. And that throw sucked. But you know what? I'm glad it's not our problem. I am glad it's not our problem. And yeah, I mean, we were right in front of that play. That play was right in front of us. And it's just, you could tell. I was like, oh my God, they're going to pick this off. And at first, it looked like King did not hold on to the football. And after the game, he was like, no, I had it. I had it all the while. But because they saw the ball pop out, like, man, they're not going to. The eye test said incompletion initially, but then as you saw the review, it was clearly a catch.
So he does suck and he's terrible.
Both.
Kirk Cousins.
Well, suck, terrible, bad, awful, overpaid.
For sure.
Yeah.
That Vikings fan we heard from wants to just flat out cut him. Forget about all the guaranteed money.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? They might be better off
with that. You know how many Super Bowls they'd have right now if Case Keenum was still the quarterback in Minnesota?
Still zero.
Oh, no, no, no.
Still zero.
They would have renamed the Lombardi after Mike Zimmer if they never got rid of Case Keenum.
Still
huge
zero.
Huge mistake.
Still zero.
From Minnesota.
They would still find a way to screw it up.
It's Chuck and Winkler. Great effort from Kevin King. Great effort from the secondary. Packers get off to that real hot start and then didn't do much for three quarters. We'll get Leroy Butler's take on it coming up next. He leaps into the Chuck and Winkler studios straight ahead. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.